Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, David Beauclair from SI.com, in today for Joe Rex Road, who is still on vacation. He'll be back tomorrow morning. Ryan Porth here with you as well on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And David, we had a lot of discussion on Friday about the Nashville Predators and some decisions that they've still got to make this offseason. Victor Arvidsson is out. The expansion draft coming up in a little bit more than a week. And some contracts to decide as well. Philip Forsberg, Matthias Ekholm, contract extensions are going to be on the table. What does the next deal look like for UC Soros? So a lot to get done this offseason for David Poile and the Predators. But you threw out there that maybe the best route that they could go would be to start selling off some of these pieces and to enter into a, quote, rebuild mode, to reset the franchise and to try to get some younger talent, some higher draft picks, some higher level prospects coming into the system as well. And ultimately, that may be what is required in order for this team to truly get back to being a contender for the Stanley Cup. So I want to dive a little bit deeper into that. Do you see a path that the Predators have to getting back to that place if they stay the course that they're on and avoid going into the rebuild? Or ultimately, do you think that's going to have to be what the Predators do at some point, whether it's this year, whether it's a couple years down the road? Why do you think now is the time for the Predators to enter into a rebuild?
Well, I think it's past time, actually. I think this unit has shown that it can't win the cup, and it, you know, ever since 2017, it's only basically gotten farther away. It's just not going to happen with this core of Josi, Ellis, Ekholm, Johansson, Forsberg. You know, that we've seen Arvidsson leave already. I mean, it's just not going to happen with this group. So break it up. And I mean, the reality of the NHL is that, and I think I said this Friday, you have to stink to be great. I mean, just look at the recent run of Stanley Cup champions. You've got, you know, Tampa Bay with Steven Stamkos, who was the number one overall pick in the draft. You've got Washington with Alex Ovechkin. You've got Pittsburgh with Sidney Crosby. You've got Chicago with Jonathan Toews, who was the third overall pick in his year.
And Kane St. was Louis, one, yeah.
You know, St. Louis, Alex Pietrangelo at number four. That, you know, St. Louis was close to the exception. L.A. Kings won two with a guy like Drew Doughty, who was the number two overall pick. I mean, the reality is you've got to have those guys, apparently, and you know, the Predators, that, you know, to David Poile's credit, have never stunk bad enough to win, and that's just kind of the way it has to go. And if so, at this point, I think if you're the Predators, you start unloading these guys. You play your Tomasinos, bring him up. You know, if he's not quite ready, so what? Let him play his way into it. You know, give Eli Tolvanen the, you know, sort of the number one line spot and say, you're going to be here. Deal with it. And you go on. You take your lumps along the way if you have to. If you miss the playoffs and you get a great draft pick, great. You know, that's kind of the way it works in this league.
Well, it's interesting because I think that you're certainly not alone in the way you feel there. I've heard from a lot of Predators fans, especially, you know, closer to the trading deadline this year. But even now, even after, you know, losing in the first round, a lot of fans still feel like maybe a rebuild is the way to go. And look, if the Predators come out next year and we see more of what we saw at the first half of this past season, that conversation is not going anywhere. I mean, this is going to be a conversation that continues to happen. Now, the counter argument is, sometimes you got to be careful what you wish for,
right?
Because look at the Buffalo Sabres.
Yes.
Look at the Detroit Red Wings right now. I mean, those franchises have been in a rebuild for a long time.
I mean,
there is no end in sight when it comes to when their rebuild is going to take place. As a matter of fact, and look, Buffalo is an extreme example. I realize that, but they got one of those guys. They got Jack Eichel, and they've been bad enough for so long now, even with him, that looks like they're about to lose him too and get back into that cycle.
But Nashville needs to get over this notion that you have to be in the playoffs. I mean, if you're in the playoffs and you lose in the first round every year, is that worth anything? Like look at Tampa. Tampa, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Tampa missed the playoffs 6 years in a row. Then 2 years later, in 2003-04, won the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
Missed the playoffs 5 out of 6 years between 2006 and 2013. Made it to the conference finals in 2016. Missed the playoffs the next year and now have won 2 of the last 4 cups. You know, it's okay to miss the playoffs every now and then. And even, you know, a couple years in a row. If you have a plan, if you're building to something, then it's okay to do that. It you know, this business of just getting to the playoffs and then leaving the playoffs almost as quickly, it's not worth anything to a real championship pursuit, I don't think. I mean, yeah, it keeps fans interested during the regular season and you're selling tickets and what have you, but I just don't see it. Now, I'll say this to counter myself. You know, Chicago missed the playoffs 7 times in 8 years and then won the Stanley Cup 3 times in the next 6. Since then, they haven't gotten out of the first round of the playoffs, which they've been to 3 times and they've missed 3 times. So, yep. Chicago is sort of a cautionary tale in terms of what I'm talking about right now that
But again, they've won 3 cups.
But they've won 3 cups. You're willing to, you know, you're still kind of basking in the glow of that a little bit.
Well, I think you brought up a really good example the other day, and that's the LA Kings. I mean, they've won 2 cups. They won in 2012. They won in 2014. Last few years, I mean, they've not even been a factor. I mean, they've been an afterthought. But if you're a Predators fan, yeah, you've been in the playoffs every year since 2014. And that's good. And you start to go back, you know, farther than that, back to when they first made the playoffs back in 2003-04. The Predators are near the top of the list in terms of the teams that have made the playoffs the most since then. But what do they have to show for it?
Yeah.
They have 1 trip to the Stanley Cup final, which was great. It was awesome. It was, I think, one of the highlights that we've seen in the history of this city, not even just in sports in this city. So that was great. But if you're a Predators fan, would you rather have a team making the playoffs every year, or would you rather have a couple of championships to show for it, even if that means at some point down the line you're going to have to pay the price for that and you're going to be bad for a few years?
Yeah, I mean, the Kings went 6 straight years without being in the playoffs. Then they lose twice in the first round and then win the Cup twice in 3 years after that. I mean, it's sort of what you have to go through in the NHL. As strange as that is to say, and you don't want to stink. Nobody wants to stink.
Sure.
But I think the point is you try to find a way to do it where the stinking part is just a year or two, and then you go, because like nobody wins the cups without getting to draft one of these guys really, really high right now. That for some reason, that's the way it works.
Well, and I think, and another part of this is the business part of it, right? I mean, I think if you'd have had this conversation in 2007 or 2010 or 2012, I think it's a different conversation than it is now. Like, I think it was important back in those days to make the playoffs. I think it was important to get that revenue. I think it was important for all those things from a business standpoint to take place. I'm not saying it's not important now to have those, but I think this franchise, the growth of the city, the fan base, I think it's a lot stronger now. And I think you can survive a few years of being bad to ultimately try to be good again and compete for a title, I think, in a much different way than you could back in 2007 or 2008.
And to be clear, I'm not advocating tanking.
Right.
But I'm saying go young. Go, you know, give let your for, get over this notion that everybody sort of has to incrementally work the way. Throw these kids in the pool. Maybe the kids you have now are great, and maybe they deliver something unexpected. But it's clear that this group doesn't work well enough to win a cup. So let's not hang on to being just good anymore. You know, I want to see this team take the risk that we're either, you know, we're going to go full reboot, young team. We're either going to dazzle people or we're going to be terrible. And if we're terrible, that's okay, because that puts us on a path that leads to generally a lot of teams will follow toward a championship. If we dazzle people, well, then that's great too, because that puts us on a path that we haven't been on for a while. So that's kind of what I'm talking about here. To, you know, I'm not saying that the Predators should just go out and try and win 20 games next season. That's not it. But the reality is that's also not the worst thing in the NHL.
We'll continue this conversation when we come back. Got a lot of your thoughts to get to on our text line as well. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Is a rebuild necessary for the Predators to truly become a Stanley Cup contender again? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com to check out Nashville's best deals. Get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Nashville's newest and largest axe-throwing venue, Bad Axe Throwing Nashville in downtown at 648 Fog Street. Aim for a great time at Bad Axe Throwing Nashville while enjoying panoramic downtown views, live music on the Bad Axe stage, curated cocktails from the full bar, and a Northwoods-inspired menu with a southern twist. Get yours now while they last at thegamenashville.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, Robbie Stanley, David Beauclair, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning discussing the Predators and their path to getting back to Stanley Cup contention. Does it involve a rebuild? Is that going to be necessary for the Predators at some point to get truly to Stanley Cup contention? Taking your thoughts on our text line and our phone line as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our phone line. Ryan from Hermitage wants to weigh in on the Predators. Ryan, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Morning, guys. A rebuild is not necessary. You look at the Edmonton Oilers right now. They have arguably the best two players in the NHL, and McDavid and Draisaitl, and they can't even get past the second. They've gotten past the second round once with both them players on the roster. Then you look at players like Tarasenko, Sebastian Aho, David Pastrnak. They weren't the top five picks. Pastrnak was the 25th overall pick in the one draft, and I think Tarasenko and Aho were the 15th overall pick. It all has to do with how you draft. You don't have to have the top pick to get back to Stanley Cup championships. You just have to know what players work for the system, and honestly, a retool this year will be good for the team, but you do have to give it to some players. I think Ellis does still need to have to go, and Duchesne both need to have to go. But you get retool this team and get some players that will play key positions they need, and this team can make it back to championship performance. Look at the 2017 team. There wasn't many big names on that team. There was a lot of key players on the team, not big name players.
Hey, thanks for the call, Ryan. We appreciate it. I mean, look, there as he pointed out, there are different ways of doing it, and the Blues, I think, are a good example. Now, people point to the Blues a lot. The biggest reason the Blues won the Cup is they had a goaltender that just absolutely caught fire. That was reason number one. They had a good team earlier that year. They couldn't get a save. I mean, Jake Allen couldn't stop a puck. And then all of a sudden when Jordan Binnington came in and he was able to make some saves, I think you kind of saw how good that St. Louis team was as a whole. Now, did they have top-level guys on that team? No. And to Ryan's point, it doesn't have to be that way all the time, but the trend is you need some top-level guys to win a cup.
Well, to Ryan's point, the Predators have drafted well. You know, when you talk about a guy like Patrick Hornquist, who's the last pick in the draft, and look at what he did for this team. When you talk about Pekka Rinne, who was an eighth-round pick, I guess.
Yeah, it doesn't even exist.
Not even an eighth-round anymore. You know, there's been a lot. You know, Roman Josi was a second-round pick. The Predators have been, they have made a lot of really good draft picks over the years, but he said to get back to a championship level, they've never been a championship team. They won one President's Cup, get bounced in the first round of the playoffs. Well, you know, they made it to the Stanley Cup final once, but they barely made it into the playoffs that year. they've not been a championship team, and for whatever reason, you have the teams that are winning the cups are the teams that, and Edmonton is a great example of how this is not a guarantee, you know, to his point also, but it seems like where the Predators are and what they've done with this group, it's not going to happen. So do something different now.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jeff texting in. I don't necessarily disagree with David on the Preds' need for a rebuild, but if they go down that road, the rebuild has to start at the top. Poile can't be allowed to be the architect of a rebuild. New blood is needed at the general manager spot.
I don't disagree with that for a moment. And, David, if it ended today, David Poile's contributions to this town and to hockey in this town and hockey in this country and everything, monumental. No sure. question about that. But you're talking about a guy who has been an NHL general manager for, 37 years now? Somewhere around there, whatever the number is. Has gotten one team past the conference finals and only one other team to the conference finals. I mean, his record is what it is, and I say this all the time. You know, 2017 was the outlier. It wasn't a new norm or anything like that. It's sad to think in a way, but that's likely as good as it's going to get for him now.
Let's go back to the text line. I got a texter that says it's the same as asking if you want the Titans to go to the first round of the playoffs every year and lose, or miss the playoffs for the next 2 or 3 years and then win a Super Bowl. I'll take a few years of losing for a Super Bowl if you're the Titans. I think that's a good comparison here with the Predators. I think you'd probably take a couple of years of losing if it meant getting back to that point. Now, to your point and to Ryan's point who called in, the problem with that is there are no guarantees in this business. There's no guarantee that if you go young, that it's all going to work out. Good. I mean, you could just end up in purgatory.
As you said, you could become the Buffalo Sabres.
That is not a place you want to be.
Nobody wants that. But it's interesting that we're even having these conversations because Nashville as a pro sports city is still fairly young.
Sure,
but we've sort of grown past the point where everything is new and exciting. Now it's like okay. Both teams have been to the playoffs, and both teams have come close to winning championships, and there's been great players and individual awards, and there's all magical moments, all this stuff, and it's getting more. All these things have kind of been crossed off the list, and eventually you get to the point where, damn it, I want a championship.
Yeah.
If you're a fan, it's nice, I guess, as a guy who grew up in Philadelphia. Home of the pro sports is losing its franchise ever, the Philadelphia, the first to ever lose 10,000 games. I mean, it's nice to see the fan base here, the sports scene here, getting a little more jaded
and
getting a little bit sour about things. I like that. That's one of these teams is going to have to deliver a championship at some point, and that'll be magical for this town.
Jim on the text line, the Preds taking one step back to take two steps forward is a great strategy for building a cup contender, but it's not as profitable from a business model standpoint as the mediocre middle and making the playoffs. Great show, guys. Appreciate you, Jim. I hear what he's saying, and I agree with a lot of it. Now, what ultimately is better for your business? Is it making the playoffs every year and knowing that you're gonna make some money that way, the interest is gonna be there, fan base is gonna be invested, or is it better to maybe go through a period where it's rough, things are not going well, and ultimately, if you win a title, what could your business model be at that point? What could your fan interest be like at that point?
And this notion that the Predators are living and dying with every dime off ticket sales is outdated. That was the case. There was a time when this team literally couldn't afford to be bad. You had to have the constant excitement so that you had butts in the seats and you were selling merchandise and you were selling concessions and that sort of thing. But under Jeff Cogan and Sean Henry and certainly Sean Henry here by himself, not by himself, but in the big chair here the last several years, the way this franchise operates, the sponsorships, the revenue streams that have been created, all those sorts of things insulate you against the against a year where maybe you don't sell as many tickets, where you're not sold out every night as we had seen there for a while. So you know, from that perspective, this franchise has been run well enough that it can afford a down year or two in terms of ticket sales and fan interest and whatnot, and still come out on the other side.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, during the Lightning build years, the fan base was irate and national commentary was, why do they suck so bad? It's easy to say this way in hindsight. The Titans had 3 years of suckage and top picks and no Super Bowl to show for it now. Now, I will say the Titans, they're still kind of in that window, though.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think the story is completely written off with the Titans yet.
And you know, the question of drafting, we're going to get to this a little bit later. There's a reason the Titans had a long window of of sucking.
Yes, there is.
I mean, the NFL, though, is, I would say, different.
It's different. Yeah.
In this conversation, it's not like you can just tank, get good players at the top of the draft, and then be right in the Super Bowl mix. Like,
Jacksonville's going to the Super Bowl.
Oh yeah, come on.
Oh yeah,
got Urban coming in, baby.
Like, there's just a lot more parity and ebbs and flows with the NFL.
Well, with the NFL, it's the quarterback question. It's not just the elite number 1, 2, 3 overall pick or whatever, which those guys tend to be quarterbacks. But it's
right.
You know, you've got to have the right quarterback.
But the top five, the quarterbacks taken to the top five in the NFL are more of lottery tickets compared to NHL top five picks, where those seem to usually pan out despite the players here and there that don't.
Right. Yeah, percentage-wise, the guys, you know, every year we hear about McDavid and Eichel, or you hear about Crosby 1 year and Malkin the next year and Ovechkin, and, you know, you're right. The one or two, the one of the better exceptions, I guess, might be 1998. You go back to, you know, Vincent LeCavalier and David Legwon.
Yeah.
And, you know, David Legwon had a very nice NHL career, but was hardly, you know, the guy that went second overall, and that, you know, David Poile actually worked a trade that day to get up and get him because it, you know, he thought it was going to be, you know,
franchise altering move.
I mean, But yeah, for the most part, the guys who are ticketed in the NHL, is these guys can't miss. They don't miss.
We'll continue this discussion when we come back. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Is a rebuild necessary for the Predators to truly be a Stanley Cup contender? More of that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This Friday, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game this Saturday night, you win a prize pack and a 4-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Participate this Friday morning, coming up at 9:45. The listeners, by the way, taking the lead in the competition in Nashville SC Pick to Click. So,
that's right.
Yep, they're up on Rex Road.
And they got Hani Mukhtar.
You and I, Porth, are still off the board. Still some work to do in that regard.
It's like we picked up right where we left off with Preds.
The picks aren't going so well, so we'll see if we can get that fixed coming up on Friday. Speaking of Preds, right now talking Predators, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Is a rebuild necessary for the Predators ultimately to get back to Stanley Cup contention? I got a texture that says, I'm tired of this fan base and their complacency with being mediocre. The 2017 run was the worst thing to happen to this organization. There's a large hockey-ignorant contingent in this fan base that thinks that this type of run is possible every year. The postseason that we just had was the absolute max that you're going to get out of this roster. Now, I hear what he's saying there. Now, I would not say that the 2017 run was the worst thing to happen to the organization. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good in the moment.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty fun. But it did – it did – And it not just among the fan base, but in that front office too. It created the impression that this team is close. This team got close. It hasn't been close since.
It's been trending
farther away ever since.
Now, but I would argue they were still close the next year. I mean, they did win the President's Trophy. And they got put out in the second round in Game 7, and I realized that. And that was a series where a couple of plays here and there, who knows what happens if they're able to get past Winnipeg. But I would argue, I mean, the regular season after that was validation for how close they were. I mean, they were the best team in the NHL all regular season long the next year. Problem is,
They were in the mix, but it seemed like they were good. They were particularly good late in that regular season.
They were pretty good from start to finish that year.
Yeah. I mean, winning the President's Trophy is a pretty good accomplishment.
They carried that momentum forward.
Sure.
There's no question. But I think that series against Winnipeg should have sounded alarms in terms of, you know, where some holes in that lineup were that were not addressed since then.
Well, and I think where you can go back, and I think in retrospect, it's pretty obvious that they made a mistake, was after that President's Trophy year, keeping that team the same, right? I mean, you brought in Kyle Turris that year, and for the first month and a half, Kyle Turris was pretty good, and then he just totally fell apart. And they got put out in the second round of Winnipeg that year, but they had just gone to the Cup Final. They'd won the President's Trophy, and the clamoring from the players was, hey, leave the group the same, which essentially is exactly what David Poile did. And I think it's pretty easy to see that was a mistake, that there should have been some changes made at that time. And I think you put it the best. The Stanley Cup, it's not a linear thing. It's a moving target. And if you're not winning it, you've always got to find a way. So, okay, we didn't win it this year. What are some moves that we can make that we feel better position us to get us back in a better spot next year? And they didn't do that after that year.
They absolutely did not. And I think as we've watched this play out too, the one thing David Poile is really consistent. I mean, he's consistent in many ways. One thing he's very consistent about is that he is loath to give players no movement clauses in their contracts, right? So one of the concessions he makes in his dealings with players is, okay, in order for you to accept not having a no movement clause in your contract, I will give you a longer term. You're like, that's one of the things that we've seen. At some point, they're going to have to rethink this. You know, enough with the 5, 6, 7 year deals. Sign a guy for a 2, 3 year deal. Give him his no movement clause. That way, you're not locked into him forever. You don't face this. Okay, now if we're going to trade him, start shortening your window of time maybe and look at it, say, okay, for the next 2 or 3 years, this is going to be the heart of our team. We'll see if that works and then go from there. But when you get to this point, all these long-term deals don't look nearly as tidy as they did maybe when they were signed.
Go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I've got a texter that says the 2017 Cup run made this fan base explode and grow wildly. So I'd argue that having one championship run every so often is just as beneficial for the franchise as making the playoffs every year, if not more so. And that goes back to the business model part of this. I think you're right. Like the Predators at one time, they needed to make the playoffs from a revenue standpoint. Like it was necessary. It had to happen.
Yeah.
And while it's still important, it's not the same. Like they're not in the same spot as they used to be from that standpoint. And to the texter's point, you probably could make an argument that if you can put a championship run together, even if that means you missed the playoffs the 4 years in a row, probably still is just as good for your fan base there.
And going back to what I was talking about earlier, where this region is in its pro sports history now. Think about it this way: this is going to be really important. Whichever team it is that wins a championship for the first time is always going to be Nashville's first.
Yep.
And to that last text point, that's going to draw in a lot of even marginal sports fans to whichever team it is. There, you know, everybody's gonna remember those moments of winning the championship. What happens, you know, the parades, all those sorts of things. It's there is something to be said, something to be captured in terms of the hearts and minds of not the hardcore sports fans in this town that you know, at one point this wasn't a discussion because you had an established NHL franchise and an expansion NHL franchise, but it's sort of it's pretty much an even competition right now.
Yeah.
And one of those teams is presumably going to beat Nashville. You know, I guess we'll have to put Nashville SC in this discussion too. But one of these teams is going to deliver Nashville its first major pro sports championship, and it's going to be a huge deal when it happens.
Go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, the reason I think a rebuild is imminent is the fact that only two of their top six guys are on their second contract with the team, Forsberg and Johansson, and only one of those guys is anywhere close to living up to his deal. The decor outside of Josi needs to be replaced with younger legs. We should rebuild around Forsberg and Saros and see where it takes us. The fan base, as y'all have alluded to, is no longer satisfied with just making the playoffs. At this point, it's a win a cup or build a roster capable of doing so type mindset.
And I think to do that, you need to take more of the long-term view and say, it's not just about winning today. It's not just about getting to the playoffs this season. It's what do we have to do in a 2-3-4 year window to put together a Stanley Cup winning team? And if that includes, you know, missing the playoffs once or twice in there, so be it. But we've got to develop a new core for this team, because you know the one we have has shown that it's not going to win a championship. That's a hard thing. I think that's probably a lot easier for us to say sitting here than
sure.
It is for David Poile and his staff to say sitting in their offices.
What do you think about building around Forsberg and Saros as a part of this rebuild?
I mean, Saros, absolutely. Forsberg's an interesting guy to me because he's so talented. But I always say that if you watch Philip Forsberg, he's sort of like a chameleon in that his game changes based on who he's playing with.
Yep.
You know, like when he played with James Neal on a line, you know, that, what was it, 2015, 16, 17 in there. Forsberg was like, they were like two of a kind. They were both like in the circle snapping off those really quick, hard wrist shots that were, you know, confounding goalies left and right. And you're like, wow, look at this guy. And then Neil gets moved out and he gets put on a line with Ryan Johansson. And all of a sudden, Philip Forsberg's now a fancy passer and, you know, doing all the fun, the little tricks and things, which is exactly what Ryan Johansson's good time Ryan out there on the ice at all the time. And so while Forsberg is unquestionably talented.
Sure.
I don't know that he has the personality that you build around, because I don't think he has his own game. I think he shapes his game he allows his game to be shaped by whoever he's on the ice with kind of most times. So he's an interesting, I think if you find somebody who you pair him with that brings out whatever you think the best aspects of his game are, then I think, yes, but I think you need to identify who that guy is and maybe say he's the guy we're building around, and Forsberg's just a huge piece of that.
Let's go back to the text line. Got a text that says, it's a dangerous game to invite a losing culture and bank on a couple of draft picks to flip the switch back to winning. It's not a 2-3 year fix. It would be closer to 6 years at that point. Well, that's the thing about a rebuild is you don't know how long it'll be.
Yeah.
Like, it could be 2 years. It could be 15
could be
years.
8 years, yeah, exactly.
I mean, the Buffalo Sabres have been in rebuild mode since, like, 2007. So think about that. It's been a long time for them. So that's the dangerous game that you play. But as you pointed out, sometimes that's what it takes in order to get back to competing for championships. And that's the tough balance that David Poile and this Predators front office right now, they're going to have to find a way to strike. And it doesn't appear like a rebuild is on the table. And David Poile said as much when Victor Arvidsson was traded. He said he does not view that as a rebuild-type move. We'll see what other moves are made this offseason to determine exactly where this Predators team is. We'll take your thoughts, of course, on this topic all show long as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll get back into it coming up a little bit later in the show. Next, though, moving ahead to the Titans, including some interesting information that David Beauclair has found out about. Part of the reason the Titans have been able to drag themselves out of the funk and get into the upper echelon of the NFL in terms of contention. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, David Beauclair, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll be joined to begin the 8 o'clock hour by Corey Curtis from News 2. So looking forward to that coming up here in about 15 minutes or so, and our weekly chat with Corey Curtis from News 2. Right now, talking Titans, and David Beauclair, you come out with an interesting piece at SI.com. As we know, Bishop Sankey retiring over the weekend from professional football, and he was selected in the second round of the 2014 draft by the Titans at the running back position, and as we know, that did not go overly well for the Titans. People apparently very interested in Bishop Sankey and his retirement from professional football, but throughout this process of kind of going through Sankey's career and his selection with a second-round pick in the 2014 draft, you discovered a trend for the Titans of a heck of a run they went on of draft picks in the second round from about 2013 to 2016. That was quite something.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Bishop Sankey had been sort of in the Canadian Football League for the last year and a half, although he never actually played a game up there. Had also spent a short time in the Alliance of American Football.
Spent a lot of time in the CFL, but still couldn't get on the field there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, tried to catch on with the XFL. I mean, this guy is going to go down as one of the more disastrous draft picks in franchise history. When you talk about 2014, they made him the first running back taken in the draft. They had their pick of any running backs, and they picked Bishop Sankey, who delivered all of 762 yards over two seasons for them before they were done with him. And that, you know, that was the last he played in the NFL. Spent time with three other teams after that, but never got on the field there too. And he was part of a run of second round picks. Like, we all talk about you want to get high draft picks and everything. Well, it's you got to do something with those picks too, and you want to know why the Titans endured the stretch they did, you know, prior to 2017. A good way to know is you look at what they did in the second round over a period of time, beginning with 2013, Justin Hunter. Didn't work out so well. Bishop Sankey in 2014, that didn't work out so well. 2015, Dorial Green-Beckham, that didn't work out so well. And then the first of their three second-round picks in 2016, Kevin Dodd. That didn't work out very well at all. I mean, that is how you get yourself into some terrible seasons right there. And even the Sankey pick, you could say, well, were there any good running backs? Well, as a matter of fact, the seven running backs taken after him all have had better NFL careers. None of them, you know, huge guys. Devontae Freeman, the best of them, but you know, guys like Jeremy Hill, Carlos Hyde, Jerick McKinnon have all, you know, they've all done. James White it wasn't one of those next seven, but he was among that group too. I mean, there were players there that the Titans could have had that, but yeah, I wrote about this yesterday, and people bringing up the name Bishop Sankey apparently has caught people's attention, because a lot of people reading that story, which I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good stuff. Well, it's amazing because now, I mean, the second round, a lot of good picks in the second round as of late.
Been much better. Starting with the third of those three picks in 2016, a guy named Derrick Henry.
He's worked out okay.
Who's turned out okay. And then you had Harold Landry in 2018.
good player.
Good, not what we thought, but a good player. And then a fellow named AJ Brown in 2019.
It's been a little bit better on that front as of late.
Suddenly, suddenly you're a playoff team. You've made a run to the conference championship game. It's crazy how that works out. You do well with your top picks. Pays off for you.
I remember thinking, being the Tennessee Vol homer than I am, it was like when the Titans got Justin Hunter in the second round, I was like, oh, yeah. Those deep balls are going to be flowing for the Titans. That offense is going to be so much fun to watch. And of course, those
picks I referenced were all in the wake of Jake Locker in the first round, the guy who was going to be your franchise quarterback. That didn't work out.
The Wiz in here.
Hunter and Dorial Green-Beckham, they traded up to get both those guys, too. I mean, they moved to get them. They were so excited about them. At least they got something for Green-Beckham when they traded him to Philly and got Dennis Kelly.
But one of the underrated trades that John Robinson has made.
Remarkably, one of those trades where at the time you're like, okay, I get that Dorial Green-Beckham's not what you wanted, but for a backup offensive lineman, really? But, yeah, that Titans easily got the better of that deal. That was a good one.
My buddy yesterday sent me a text message with a screenshot with this news of Bishop Sankey retiring and also Kendall Wright being suspended.
And
it says ex-Titans in the CFL, and I texted back. I said, I just got PTSD thinking of Ken Wisenhunt.
But in fairness, suspended in the Canadian Football League is one of those relative terms. It's sort of like, I think it just means that they're not at training camp, but because the Toronto coach was talking about, because Toronto listed 8 guys who are suspended, and he's like, you know, at least 2 or 3 of those guys are going to be playing for us in a couple of weeks. It's not that they got in trouble. It's just a designation that they're not. They're not actually on the active.
So don't worry.
Right,
you can
now
still watch Kendall Wright play if you want to.
I wonder if Justin Hunter's in the CFL.
I'm going to say no.
He probably can't catch a cold there either.
Wow. Hostility.
Even in Canada. A little
hostility from Ryan Porth with Justin Hunter.
Top 5 least favorite Titans of all time.
Really? Justin Hunter?
Justin Hunter.
What's your top 5?
Well, Vic Beasley is up there.
Is Clowney on the list?
He wasn't here. Well,
he's here longer than Vic Beasley was.
He was.
Which that's
Carl Pickens
something.
On that list.
Yeah,
Carl Pickens is on the list.
He's on that list. I mean,
there's been some disappointments.
Oh yeah,
Justin Hunter might be close to number 1 on that list.
Is Bishop Sankey on the list?
No.
Okay. Is that because it worked out a couple years later with Derrick Henry?
I'm not sure Justin Hunter ever liked football that much.
I don't know if he did either.
You sort of wonder how many times he kind of thought to himself, you know, I should have stuck to high jumping.
Yeah, maybe so.
Well, I mean, how many players can the Titans draft over the years that just don't like football? It's amazing.
And when, you know, it's funny because you hear that from John Robinson and Mike Vrabel all the time right now, that one of their big things is they got to love ball. They got to love the fact that it hurts and that you're going to get, clearly that hasn't always been the case for this franchise.
Jeremy Fowler from ESPN has come out and he's been going position by position, interviewing executives and players and other coaches about the top 10 players at each position in the NFL heading into training camp. And the quarterback list has come out today. And there's some interesting names on this list. I don't think anybody would be surprised to learn that Mahomes and Rodgers are at the top, followed by Tom Brady at number 3 with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Russell Wilson at 4, Josh Allen from Buffalo at number 5. At number 6, Matt Stafford of the LA Rams. Apparently, the 6th best quarterback in the NFL. Matt Stafford at number 6.
Guys never won a playoff game.
I know.
Maybe if he was as good as everyone thinks he is, like, how can he not won a playoff game?
Look, do I think that Matt Stafford for the Rams is an upgrade over Jared Goff? Yes, I do. Do I think that Matt Stafford is the 6th best quarterback in the NFL? No.
Who's 7, 8, 9, 10?
7 is Dak Prescott of the Dallas Cowboys. 8 is Lamar Jackson. Number 9, Justin Herbert of the LA Chargers, and at number 10, Kyler Murray. So that means Ryan Tannehill not in the top 10.
Does he get an honorable mention on that list?
He does get an honorable
quarterbacks
mention.
Quarterbacks also receiving votes: Matt Ryan, Derek Carr, Ben Roethlisberger, Ryan Tannehill, Joe Burrow, Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield, and Carson Wentz receiving votes as well.
Carson Wentz received a vote for top 10 quarterback in the National Football League.
Carson Wentz received a vote for top 10.
Was this vote conducted 3 years ago?
I don't know.
The accompanying quote on Ryan Tannehill from an NFL coordinator: he's solid, not elite, but incredibly efficient. And this is the part Titans fans are going to like. You can win big with that, with the right supporting cast.
I would say he's got the right
supporting cast. He's got a pretty darn, if it's not the right one, it's a pretty darn good one.
Pretty good.
Yes.
But does that include the defense?
Well, I don't know. At least we'll find out on that.
That's the big. But Justin Herbert, now
number
nine. I like Justin Herbert. I think he's got some real potential. But you're telling me right now, today, July 12th, 2021, Justin Herbert's a better quarterback than Ryan Tannehill?
I don't think so, my friend. Well, look, while we're there, Dak Prescott at 7? Like, I think Dak Prescott is good. Is Dak Prescott the 7th best quarterback in the league?
All right,
Is he better than Lamar Jackson?
No.
No, he's not better than Lamar Jackson.
Which quarterbacks on the honorable mention list are you putting in the top 10?
Ryan Tannehill.
Tannehill's in the top 10.
I mean, there's no question about that he's better than several of these guys. He might be the only one of that group.
Yeah. I mean, is Baker Mayfield, if he has the season he had a year ago, a top 10 guy?
Matt Ryan and Ben Roethlisberger are more accomplished quarterbacks,
sure,
but their best days are behind them.
Sure.
So I don't know that they make that list.
One that's going to get in there in a hurry, and everybody's giving Justin Herbert a lot of love, and I get it. Joe Burrow is better than Justin Herbert. He just happens to play for the Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah. That's the problem with Joe Burrow.
Don't sleep on Herbert.
He's good.
He's really stinking good.
He's good. He's not the ninth best quarterback in the league right now.
I agree. Herbert impressed me when I saw him last year. He was better than I thought he was. But he's not a better quarterback. And this love for Matthew Stafford, I just don't understand.
He's out of Detroit, David.
It's been that way ever since the trade. The guy's 33.
He's out of Detroit.
And yes, he has a great arm. But this idea that the Rams are now world beaters because they have Matthew Stafford, I just don't understand.
They're going to be a popular pick to go to the Super Bowl.
They are going to be a popular pick.
It's going to happen. They're going to be picked. It's going to be I will throw this out there right now. Behind Tampa Bay in the NFC, LA they'll receive the second most picks in the NFC to go to the Super Bowl. I'll put that out there right
Without
now.
Without question.
Yeah. Which is amazing because Aaron Rodgers still quarterback of the Packers for the moment.
Are we sure about that?
Well, we're not sure.
Well,
he said he's making a decision in a couple weeks.
Technically on the roster.
He's still the quarterback.
Oh, he's going to make a decision in a couple weeks.
A couple weeks when training camp starts.
That's when training camp starts. Okay.
It's when he's making his decision, apparently.
He'll be in Green Bay.
I think so, too. When we come back, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get into this, get his thoughts on the Predators rebuild as well. All that and more coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.